This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Now that it's 2024, California lawmakers are set for an intense debate on economic reparations for black residents descended from enslaved ancestors. In 2020, California became the first state to form a reparations task force. Last June, the group issued an 1,100-page report for the state legislature to take up. State Senator Stephen Bradford, a Democrat, has now introduced a bill that would create a California agency to carry out reparations when and if they get approved. Reporter Lee Hawkins has a series on reparations this week.
The California Reparations Task Force spent 3 years studying and developing reparations proposals. California State Senator Stephen Bradford believes a government agency is the next step in the process before the California legislature starts looking at exact dollar amounts or benefits.
That's what makes it real once you have a dedicated governmental entity that says, okay, we're charged with delivering, identifying who's eligible, and determining what reparations look like.
The agency would be set up to atone for California's history of slavery and the institutional racism that is illuminated by the task force's report. For example, during the gold rush starting in 1848, up to 1,500 enslaved black people were forcibly brought to California by southern miners seeking fortune. 2 years later, California became a U.S. state, technically a free state. But miners exploited legal loopholes to sustain slavery. And even with abolition, racial violence and systemic racial injustices continued throughout the 20th century.
We identified basically 12 areas that we saw the state had engaged in producing harms against the African American community.
Jovan Scott Lewis is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley. He was also a member of the state's reparations task force.
Things like property removal, to issues like mass incarceration and contemporary gentrification, right, which really are the kind of consequences of what we can think of as the practice of redlining that began in the 1930s.
The task force cited disparities in housing, healthcare, criminal justice, and business ownership, and it provided a formula for calculating the resulting economic losses. But the report doesn't mention specific payment amounts for reparations, which is the most controversial aspect. Last March, a San Francisco reparations committee proposed a $5 million compensation package for each qualifying black adult. This, a number that California State Senator Bradford clarifies, did not originate from the overarching state task force.
What we identified, again, was the wealth gap between white families and black families, again, at $360,000. So that was our starting point. So I think the $5 million that you hear right now, that's just a distraction. That's those naysayers who are finding any reason not to support reparations.
Richard Rothstein, who wrote The Color of Law about government-enforced segregation in the U.S., doubts whether reparations for black Americans could even be passed in California or anywhere.
They're talking about billions of dollars paid to African Americans in California. It's not going to happen. I agree with them completely, but they're talking about something that is much more politically unrealistic than going after specific crimes that have been committed in violation of our Constitution.
But while there may be disagreements about what's politically viable, there's one reality that people on all sides of this debate can agree on. Any path to reparations would be paved with complexity.
It's going to be a lot of challenges, not only legislatively to get our colleagues on board, but it's public opinion of just showing why this is important, why this is needed, and more importantly, why this is owed to these descendants, again, that built this country.